This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
For a woman with three of America's most ordinary names, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones has certainly made extraordinary contributions in the fields of holistic health, anti-aging, optimum nutrition, and balanced living. For starters, she taught students, staff, and faculty at UCLA how to be healthy and fit for 30 years. Susan is the founder and president of Health Unlimited, a Los Angeles-based consulting firm dedicated to optimal wellness, health education, and human potential. The author of over 30 books, including Wired for High-Level Wellness, Simple Ways to Rejuvenate, Meditate, and Prosper. On today's This Week in America, Dr. Susan Smith-Jones discusses parenting tips to make your life easier. That's coming up next.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines, plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. That's 800-313-7757.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. How many times have you looked in the mirror and frowned at the outfit you're wearing? Or thought twice about eating dessert because, well, it's bad food, even though it's not? Well, definitely a few, because we're all human, after all. But it's important to take stock of the things you say and do when the kids are around, and do your best to present yourself as a strong, confident parent or caretaker. Today, our guest, holistic health and lifestyle expert Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., will offer some of the best and down-to-earth parenting tips to help boost self-esteem in children and help with all kinds of picky eaters. What she talks about today may also apply to you. Dr. Susan, welcome to the program. Great topic. Looking forward to our conversation.
Well, I am too. This is a new topic for us, although for decades I've worked with kids and parents and family about these topics of self-esteem and body positivity and picky eaters. So, and like you just said, it's not always the kids and toddlers that are picky eaters. I've known many adults that have food issues, so I want to make it as practical as possible with you today.
A great topic and important topic. And let's start off with the first part, the topic of kids' self-confidence. Then in part two, we'll move on to picky eaters and how to navigate and handle this behavior. So where do kids learn about self-image, and what role do parents play in that?
Yes, and this is a good place to start, and probably no surprise to anyone that kids learn about body positivity and self-confidence from, guess who, their parents, long before they internalize perceived ideals of how they should look on YouTube or social media. And if they have a strong foundation of self-esteem, those messages will have far less of an impact when they do inevitably encounter them.
That's interesting, and this is such a fascinating topic. Some more information, by the way, if you go to Dr. Susan's website, which is very simple, susansmithjones.com. That makes so much sense what you were talking about, and so important for parents to understand that. Let's go through your 9 things to say and believe about yourself in front of your kids so you can help them learn to take pride in who they are. And I know you've been teaching, as you mentioned, these positive tips around the world for decades with great success. Go through that list of items that we all should implement in our lives.
Yes, yes. And whether, you know, this is for you, for your life, or to help the kids with body positivity and self-confidence. So one would be these 4 magic words. Remember, I look nice today. Say it when you're tired. Say it when you feel maybe a cold coming on. Say it when you haven't showered, hopefully not in a few days. But little ones learn by example, and if they hear you speaking positively about yourself, it becomes second nature to do the same. Projecting self-confidence shows worthiness, despite the negative messaging that bombards us all daily. So I look nice today would be one.
How about... Yeah, go ahead. Start on the second one is so important here for adults as well as children.
Okay, and another phrase, maybe you say, that was challenging and I'm going to try again. Showing you're okay with failure helps kids develop the tools necessary for dealing with disappointment, and that's just part of life. And it might be handy, this is what I do from time to time, even working with adults, to have a list of people who have failed before finding success. I keep that on hand. Actually, I have them memorized. I'll say to someone, you know, especially adults, think Albert Einstein. Taylor Swift would be a good one. Michael Jordan, Steven Spielberg, J.K. Rowling, Walt Disney, Oprah, Lincoln, and Thomas Edison. Because there's nothing wrong with failing. That's just part of life. It's just important to get up and try again. You never give up.
We're talking on the program today with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. We're talking about parenting tips to make your life easier, building kids' self-esteem. And in a few seconds, we'll be talking about dealing with picky eaters. Back to the list, what are some of the other things that we should be saying to ourselves with the kids around or saying to the kids directly?
Yes. Now, I'll go through the next 3 with you.
Okay.
One would be, admit this, I made a mistake. See, it might be one of the hardest things to do, but admitting
yes.
when we are wrong, right? Yeah, is one of the best ways to show and teach personal responsibility. And that's a life skill that everybody needs. And the next would be a good phrase, food keeps me healthy and happy. And how you talk about food with kids has a major impact on how they look at their bodies and their health. And if you practice what I call food neutrality, like broccoli is broccoli, a cookie is a cookie, nothing is good or bad, it will help set the stage for kids to learn the balance of fueling the body and enjoy the pleasures of the food itself. And one more would be, I am proud of my job. Now, whether you're a stay-at-home parent, you work remotely, or you head out to a job, always show pride in what you do. Talking about what you do all day shows the kids that while you might be busy, it's for a very good reason, not because you don't want to read their favorite book, Joy and the Butterfly, for a 10th time. So be proud of your job and let the kids know that.
That's so important, and so all of these are things that we as parents should remember to talk about in front of our kids or even our grandkids, parenting tips to make your life easier. On the list, you've got 4 more items. They're all equally important. What's next on the list?
Yes, and by the way, Joy and the Butterfly is my children's trilogy series, books for young kids, all about good values and the magic of ordinary days and kindness and gratitude. A wonderful book series for kids. All right, next would be, I'm glad my body protects me and keeps me alive every day. Well, you can change the words to work for the age of the kids, but we can kick a soccer ball, we can push a swing, we can play a board game, and we can do it all without being the exact quote-unquote right size. Referring to your body as something you use as a tool for life is key to helping kids develop a very positive self-image. And here's another one that's important is, this outfit makes me feel beautiful. Right now, everyone listening here, raise your hand if you found yourself cursing while trying on clothes because something didn't look quite right. So, and my hand just went up.
Well, mine too. A lot of hands, I think, have gone up. I hope you're not driving, so we'll give you the escape clause if you're driving. But we all have gone through that. It's like, why did I choose this? Why did I buy it in the first place?
I know, and we've got to remember on the steering wheel 10 and 2, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so try focusing on things you like about what you're wearing, like this color complements my skin tone, or these leggings are perfect for our park play date, or this hat makes me stand out in a crowd. So pointing out the good instead of the bad is a way to encourage self-love and confidence. And one more would be, I like this one, of course, I enjoy exercising because it makes me feel strong. Moving our bodies is so much more than losing weight. It's about how exercise is good for our brain, helps us ward off illness, and prolongs our lifespan, like you and I have talked about countless times together. And in today's technology-driven culture, driving home these ideas is more important than ever.
All of this and so much more, Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. Dr. Susan, also the author of many books on holistic health and optimum vitality, including her latest two celebrated companion books, newly released, A Hug in a Mug, revitalized with fruits, veggies, juices, soups, spices, teas, and healthy living extras. And of course, a book we've talked about many times on the program, Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. All of this on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. Let's talk a little bit now in part two, talking about, well, have you finished up on part one? Let's talk about failure.
There's one more that comes to mind, and that is, and this is a very good one too, remember, I believe every day is a new chance to start over.
Yes.
See, it's easy, isn't it, to let negative thoughts rule our mindset. And okay, yes, life is tough, but it's also beautiful, and we only get one of it. So a wonderful gift or tool you can give your kids is the ability to look at the present and the future and understand that everything moves forward. We alone can make change for ourselves, even if it's something as tiny as writing down notes of gratitude before you go to bed at night, or as big as demanding the help you need that's so often difficult for people.
I was so excited to get to Picky Eaters, I forgot one, and that's very important. That's like rebooting every day. We have a chance to reboot and start over, and all of those, such great advice. And again, you'll find all of this in Dr. Susan's newsletter, for example, on her website, SusanSmithJones.com. Let's move on now to how parents, grandparents, and others we might want to deal with and hopefully prevent kids from becoming picky eaters. A common sense issue comes up for families all the time, doesn't it? Because you deal with parents that are facing these issues.
Well, definitely, and this is for everyone of all ages. Now, have you ever seen a panic-stricken face of a baby who just tried a new food for the first time?
Oh,
maybe
yes.
One that has lots of lemon juice in it. So,
yep.
Yeah, exactly. But it's actually so cute to watch, I think. Starting solids can be a very wild ride, but for all the ups and downs and kitchen floors splattered, painted with food, parents are treated to their own bout of panic when their happy-eating baby transforms into a picky toddler. And by the way, so many of them do worldwide, not just here in America. I think a real housewives reunion has nothing on the drama of trying to get your picky preschooler to even eat foods that have touched one another. So it's completely normal for kids to exhibit picky eating behaviors, especially when they start preschool and begin to observe others. And unless there's an underlying health concern, it usually will resolve over time. But still, there are things that we can do to help and other things that make picky eating even worse.
Well, I want to pick up with that. We have to take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the common mistakes and looking through some of the mistakes. And I've seen this on Dr. Susan's website, in her newsletters, in her books, as she talks about these. These are common issues, and we think we're getting over by using these unproven techniques to get kids to stop being picky eaters. It makes the children react just the opposite. We'll talk about that. When we come back, you're listening to This Week in America. Our guest is Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, and we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines, plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. That's 800-313-7757. How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-915-9058. 800-915-9058. 800-915-9058. That's 800-915-9058.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back. This Week in America, our guest today, Susan Smith-Jones, PhD. The topic, parenting tips to make your life easier, building kids' self-esteem, and dealing with picky eating. We're now on to dealing with picky eating. And I mentioned before, we make some mistakes. And I'm looking down this list, and it's like, yeah, I can remember our kids were little. We probably did all of these a number of times. Well, let's talk about some of the common mistakes parents of picky eaters sometimes make so we can make really practical suggestions rather than going through and repeating these. What are some of the mistakes and how do we get around them?
Yes. Now, this first one's a big one. I'll spend a teeny bit of extra time on it. And it's pressuring kids to eat and being way too serious about it. You see, as our sweet toddlers struggle to develop their sense of autonomy, they naturally become more selective in their food choices. And if they're pressured, their need for independence may lead them to resist eating altogether. And so kids are very intuitive, and when meals become stressful and tense, they can absolutely sense it, and they'll be less likely to try a new food when the atmosphere at the table is strained. So it's always good to offer choices when you can and let them be in charge of what they eat from their plate and how much of it that they consume. And to make mealtime more fun and inviting, I like to suggest to think more like a kid yourself and turn eating into a game. Here are some examples I've used with clients worldwide. Start a tradition where at the start of the meal, you pick a new food and for everyone to try, like a new food. Maybe it's kiwi, maybe it's pomegranate seeds, maybe it's kale, whatever. And every family member eats a small piece and rates it, or because then they love that. It's more like a game.
Oh,
or
yes.
Create a quest for your kids to try a bite of everything on their plates and find the food that's the, and this is good learning too, the crunchiest, the softest, or the sweetest. And then while you're at it, let them play with their food. There's no harm in dipping random things in ketchup, or I don't think there's any harm in blowing bubbles as they drink, as long as they're eating and they aren't being rude or making a huge mess.
Interesting. And throwing is probably something you would discourage at the dinner table with your food as well.
That's Yes, if you can. Or else put, keep your little portable vacuum handy in the corner of the kitchen.
You might need that there. You talk about pleading, threatening, or bribing. This is interesting. So SeaWorld for asparagus probably is a bad idea.
Yeah, probably. But you never want to plead, threaten, or bribe. Science has shown that when parents resort to threats, scolding, punishment, pleading, bribing, or coercing, their kids end up eating less food and not more. So telling your toddler that they can have ice cream if they eat their broccoli might work in the short term, but it can eventually backfire. And so and it's funny how my grandmother taught me a lot of this as when I was a teenager. And she helped me go from having a complete junk food diet to eating healthier foods. And I'm not a fan of using food as rewards or bribes because it elevates food to an overly desirable status, which can lead to an unhealthy fixation on food rewards, typically dessert type or sweet foods. And never force your kids to finish everything on the plate like my mom used to do as a kid because the kids in China didn't have enough food.
Exactly.
Yeah, because the portions may be too large for their little tummies, and they'll sometimes circle back to eat more a little bit later. And then next, don't label your kid as picky, because the more you talk about your child being a picky eater, the pickier they might become, as labels can reinforce the behavior. I'm always into behavior modification. We don't want any self-fulfilling prophecies. And then another one, this is what a lot of parents do all over the world. They become a short order cook.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and that means whipping up something new for your picky kid who's just refused to eat dinner is a surefire way to prolong pickiness, because it teaches kids that there's always something different available. So instead, this is so good, Rick, and it works. Try including safe foods with foods you aren't sure about to ensure your child will always have something to eat. For example, let's say you're serving lasagna and a salad for dinner, and you're unsure whether your child will eat this meal. Well, you can also include something like peanut butter whole grain toast, you know, toast with some almond or peanut butter on it, which you know your child will consistently enjoy. That way, you know, you don't have to become a short order cook, and you know your child will get something to eat.
Great ideas, and all of this, and again, so much more on Dr. Susan's website. All sorts of tips there. It's a treasure chest of health information. Dr. Susan's website is very simple, SusanSmithJones.com. Follow her on Twitter, now X at Susan Smith Jones, and all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What about in introducing new foods? And we may put it out for a meal or two, they don't like it, and we give up on it. How do we handle that?
Yeah, that's a good one, Rick. Thanks. It can take dozens, literally, dozens of exposures to a new food before your child decides they like it. And although it may be frustrating and sometimes wasteful, these repeated exposures can bring your child one step closer to the food acceptance. So let's just take apples, for example. If you start off apples, try varying how you introduce a new food. For example, you could offer apples in slices. They could be shredded. They could be cubed on a skewer with cheese, or maybe like with a strawberry or a raspberry or a blueberry. They could be thinly sliced to make a nut butter sandwich with two slices of apple with a nut butter in between. You could try applesauce. You could bake an apple with cinnamon. In other words, you're giving them lots of exposure to one food, but different ways to create it. And if after all of these exposures, your child continues to reject the food, maybe it's reasonable to conclude they just don't like it. But that said, it could be worth revisiting in the future.
Such great information. And again, you'll find all of this on the website in Susan's books. And we'll talk about the two new ones coming up here in a few minutes. Let's talk about snacks and drinks. Sometimes you figure that maybe they're not that hungry because we just had I let them have a snack a half hour ago.
So I love that you asked that, because here's a simple solution that sometimes parents and caretakers don't think about. You don't want to give them too many snacks and drinks, especially when you want to introduce a new food, because offering a new food to a child whose tummy is full of juice or milk or smoothie or a snack isn't likely to be successful. And a hungry child will be more open to new taste and textures. So try only to serve snacks midway between meals. Don't serve snacks right before a meal where you want to introduce a new food.
All of the information available, very simple, SusanSmithJones.com. Susan Smith Jones, PhD, our guest on the program. The topic today has been parenting tips to make your life easier. Dr. Susan, always a pleasure. Looking forward to next month. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you. I do too. And everyone, go out and celebrate life today.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.